Faith without works is dead. James 2:14. What is the use of the prophet, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no good works to show for it? Can such faith save his soul? Now, he's not talking about his spirit, he's talking about his soul. Your soul is different than your spirit. When Jesus comes to live in you, he comes to live in your spirit. It's our soul that needs a work done in it. If a brother or a sister is poorly clad and lacks food for each day, and you say to him, goodbye, stay warm and well fed. All right, it kind of comes down to this, I'll pray for you. That's our out of everything that we don't want to do. I'll pray for you. And I'm not saying that prayer is not important, but I already said last night, let's stop praying about things and asking God to do things that we could easily do ourselves and just don't want to. Ooh, I'm having so much fun. And it's only Friday morning. You know why I have fun? Because I know what this can do for our lives. I've got this thing burning in me. I want to see people have the life that Jesus died to give them. That's what I want more than anything. And we have lots of people born again in our meetings, and I'm grateful for that. But to tell you the truth, I don't want to see people just born again and then stay miserable. I want to see people learn how to live the way Jesus wants them to live so they can have what he wants them to have, and that is peace and joy and righteousness and power and a great life where we bear good fruit for other people. That's why I get excited. I'll pray for you. No, God, I'm going to pray for them, but if there's something that I can do to help, show me. See, I don't expect to get a whole room full of claps. I'll tell you why. Because we're afraid God just might show us something. I might lose my bracelet. I might have to apologize. Come on. All right, I'm going to tell you something that I read yesterday morning, and I thought this was good, so I'll just see what you think about it. This guy was basically talking about spiritual maturity and how we need to grow up, and it takes sacrifice daily to be able to do that. Paul said, I die daily. And what he meant by that was every single day he had to say no to himself and yes to God. And every time we say no to self and yes to God, there's a little bit of what the Bible calls dying to the flesh. All right? I'd love to write a book called Dying to Self and just see if I could sell even 2 copies. So, he said, we all admire the martyrs of the past, people who have been killed rather than deny Christ. And I mean, who wouldn't? You know, you read books like, you know, Jesus Freaks or Fox's Martyrs, and you're like, some of us get nervous praying in a restaurant, so instead of praying, we act like we got a headache. And then if we're out in public and we start to talk about God, we get quiet. Like, the sinners are screaming and we're getting quiet, you know? And so we read these stories about the martyrs and people who were eaten by lions and sawn in half and, you know, went before the firing squad, and we're just like, and they deserve honor, and nobody's trying to say that they don't. But he just had a point that I thought was interesting. He said, I know people personally that if they were put to the test would go before a firing squad before they would deny Christ. And I imagine there's a lot of people like that here in this room. I think I would do that. No, nobody knows what you'd do. I guess you come right down to it. But I pray that if I'm ever put in that position, that I have the courage to be who God wants me to be. He said, but those same Christians that would stand before a firing squad rather than deny Christ, if you talk to their families, about how they are on a daily basis at home behind closed doors, that's where we need to die. Because to be honest, I mean, a firing squad would be quick and done. You're going to do this thing God's way. It's a daily, all day long, day after day after day after year after year. Come on, give God a praise. Verse 17, so faith, if it does not have works, deeds, and actions of obedience to back it up, by itself is destitute of power. And we see this all the time. There are millions of people who go to church weekly and then do absolutely nothing to help anybody else. And I was one of them for a long time. And I thought I was so spiritual. Go to church and then go out with my friends after church and gossip about the pastor. I had not learned one thing about bridling my tongue yet. Come on, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And don't you leave here today and talk about me in a bad way.
We love you, Joy.
In verse 18, he said, but somebody will say to you, well, now you say you have faith, but I have good works. Now you show me your alleged faith apart from any good works, if you can, and I, by my good works of obedience, will show you my faith. Now, and this is a good one. You believe that God is one? That's good. Demons believe that. Wow. Okay, then. Are you willing to be shown proof, verse 20, you foolish, unproductive, spiritually deficient fellow, that faith apart from good works is inactive, ineffective, and worthless? Let me say again, we are not justified before God by our works. I mean, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says we are saved by grace, not by works. Our salvation is not based on what anybody can possibly do. Nobody can take credit for their salvation. It's totally by the grace and the work of God, and we receive that by faith. But we've got to care about somebody other than ourselves. I may be okay, and I may be on my way to heaven. But as a Christian, we all have a job. And I'm not talking about your office job or your factory job. We all have a job. We all have a ministry, and a ministry doesn't have to be up here to be a ministry. I have a ministry besides this one, if you want to know the truth, and I take part in it every single day of my life, everywhere that I go. Because we are just fooling ourselves if we think we can get up in front of people and put on a show or pretend on Sunday morning to be something special, but then behind closed doors and in our daily life, we're acting like the rest of the world. I'm blowing the trumpet in Zion. Amen. Jesus is coming soon. And we all have a job to do. People say, well, I don't know what my purpose is. You have a job to do. Get out in the world and act like a Christian. Behave like a Christian. Show the fruit of being a Christian. When is the last time you did something for somebody else? And some of you are awesome. You know, when I'm not just preaching to you. We got millions of people watching by television in many different parts of the world. But there are people in here that you watch me every day. And it's maybe been a long time since you did anything for anybody else. I mean, just maybe one or two. Probably not many, though, I'm sure. You know, the best way to fight greed and selfishness is to be aggressive in generosity. And I can tell you something, the more we have, the more tempted we are to just live our own little comfortable life and stop reaching out to other people in need. And it seems like it should be the opposite way, but it's not. I tell you something, he talks in here, and I didn't read the scriptures, about how those of you that are rich and all you have is your wealth, you need to not be all excited about what you have, because you could lose that in a second. So if that's all you have, you don't have any faith, then you're actually a poor person. But people that are poor in natural things and they have a faith rich in God, they're actually wealthier than the person who has a lot of money. And I'll tell you something that I've learned, and we know in our Western culture, we have so many blessings that sometimes we just don't. I mean, I think in the process, sometimes we forget how to treat people. Now, I can be justified before God and go to heaven. And I can really believe in God, and I can, if you want to know the absolute truth, I can probably mistreat people while I'm here, and I can still end up going to heaven. But I'll tell you what I won't have. I won't be happy. I won't bear any good fruit. I won't take anybody to heaven with me. I might keep a few people out. Come on, are you out there? And I'll tell you what else I won't have. I won't have any rewards waiting for me when I get there. And the Bible teaches us that there is going to be rewards waiting for us based on how we've lived our lives and what we have done while we're here in the body. And I personally am big on rewards. I mean, this trip that we make through here, let's even say we got 100 years, I mean, it's bad enough. But when I get to heaven, I don't want to spend eternity without the best life that I can possibly have because I didn't do here what I was supposed to do. I've been saying this, and I think it's a good statement. I think we need to spend here getting ready for there. And so maybe we spend too much time thinking about our instantaneous comfort and not enough time thinking, it doesn't really matter if I'm comfortable here or not. I've got forever to live. And I want to make sure that I'm living now in such a way that when I stand before the Lord, I've got a full reward coming because I've been faithful while I've been here. Come on.
So we've learned that helping others glorifies God, it builds up rewards in heaven, and it provides a great example to the world about life in Christ. So we also have some resources to help you develop your love walk. You know, walking in love is one of those things that really changed Joyce's life. It's changed mine, and I know that it can change yours. So our offer today is this teaching from Joyce. It's called How to Hear from God, and then we also have a great devotional called My Time with God. Now, if you do not want to hear from God, then you've got something wrong in your life, because that really is the key to everything. And this teaching, direct from God's Word, will just help you understand the way that God speaks to us, how we can tune in, how we can hear Him, and then how we can be obedient. And the daily devotional, this is such a good one, and it just means that spending that little bit of time every morning with God is something that will really make a difference. So let us know right now that you would like these resources, pick them up, and work on that love walk. Now, you may say that you're just too busy to help others right now. A lot of people are in that situation. We all get it. But joining us now is a mother of four who took a step of faith and volunteered with our medical missions team to reach out to families in need. And she has learned how important it is to do something for other people. Sarah Lolly's with us. Sarah, you amaze me because you're a mother of four. You homeschool your kids, and yet you decided, I'm going to take this step, and I'm going to go out and go overseas and volunteer with the medical missions team. What on earth compelled you to do that?
Well, I think in having four children, and they're fairly close in age, I wondered, what would it be like if I lived in one of these other countries and didn't have my basic needs met? What if my child needed medical care? And we didn't have the money to do it, or we didn't have insurance. Yeah. What would I do? And I think that really helped me in stepping out and doing it, because you often, some of these mothers in the clinics, they have 3, 4, 5, 6 children, and they come in, and every child needs some kind of medication or vitamins, and the mother themselves needs some kind of help. And so it just really spoke to me as in, like, this could be me. And, you know, I think often we pray, like, God, where are you? Why aren't you helping these people? And often he's equipped us, like, we're supposed to be his hands and feet. You know, and as we step out and help them, it is God helping them.
Exactly. Was it a blessing to you too?
Yes, yes. I think, and just seeing people's, they're not only getting their basic needs met, like physical needs, they're also getting their spiritual needs met. And just seeing the combination of both and what a difference it really does make in the kids' and the adults' lives. And I mean, it changes you also, that yes, completely speaks to you.
And you haven't just done this one time now. You've done it how many times? How many trips have you been on?
Went on 5 trips with HOH, and I will be going on my 6th this November.
Where are you going?
Ethiopia.
Ethiopia.
Yes, one of my favorites.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, it really is encouraging to think, no matter where we are in life, if God calls us to do something, if he asks us to help others in a particular way, he gives us everything we need to make it happen.
Yes.
So just finally, how would you encourage someone, whether it's doing something as large as taking a medical missions trip or something as simple as going to a neighbor and seeing what they need, how would you encourage someone to step out and do something for someone else?
I mean, you just have to go for it. As scary as it can be, I think that's often when we know we're supposed to do something, when we feel like, oh gosh, I don't think I could do this, or so much could go wrong, maybe I shouldn't. I think it's those little promptings that it's kind of like, that's probably God telling you. And if you just trust him, he equips you. And sometimes it can be difficult, but it can strengthen you. And you look back and you realize, like, oh my gosh, I was so scared on that very first trip. And he really helps you. And it can be your neighbor. You don't have to go thousands of miles away. I mean, your neighbors next door need to know God and everything too.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. We appreciate it. And thank you for volunteering and doing those trips.
Yes.
I know how life-changing they are.
They are.
They are fantastic. And if you would like to have an experience similar to Sarah's, consider volunteering at one of our medical teams, with one of our teams. And for more information, you can just check out our website, joycemeyer.org/medical-missions, and you'll find all the information there. And if that is not what God is calling you to do, then ask him what he is calling you to do and go do it. You will find that you'll help that person, and your life will never be the same. It's well worth the commitment and the investment that you will make. Well, you know, sometimes you've got a really big question on your heart and you need an answer right now. We call those our Help Me questions, and Joyce tackles those. It's time for our Help Me question now. Joyce, we have a question, and it's from someone that says they're anonymous, but it could be just about anybody out there, because this is the all-time question that we read through God's Word. Why does God let sinful people get away with their sins while those who follow his Word suffer?
Well, first of all, God does not let people get away with their sin. He might be giving them mercy for a space of time, trying to deal with them, but your sin will find you out. I was watching a movie recently where everybody in this family was just so wicked. You know, they went to church and it was all a pretense. And I mean, there was just so many tragic things that happened in their life. It was almost like, you gotta be kidding. How can that many bad things happen to one family? But I just kept feeling in my heart, your sin will find you out. Your sin will find you out. And really, nobody gets by with sin. Psalm 37 is a great psalm to read, that in the end, the meek will inherit the earth, and God does deal with the wicked. But his timing in doing that is something that we must leave up to him. And so in the meantime, we get to pray for them, and we get to be patient, which is always quite interesting.
I love that, we get to be patient.
Yeah, we get to be patient, which is always quite interesting. But, you know, it always aggravates us, especially when we feel that maybe somebody that's wicked and sinful actually seems to have more material blessings than we do. But we have to remember that peace with God is the most valuable gift that we can have.
Yeah.
So the person who's doing what's right is going to have that peace with God. And there's no way that somebody living in sin, knowingly living in sin and being wicked and evil, can have that kind of peace in their life. So I think we have to realize what we do have and just not assume that somebody's getting by with something, because sin has its own punishment and it will chase you down and find you out and deal with you.
Well, and everybody suffers. Yeah. I mean, that is just part of the nature of sin in the world.
Right.
We all, whether we follow God's word or not, have pain in our lives.
Right.
But one thing that I think is so helpful is to not to have that need to see the sinful pay for it. Let God take care
right.
of it. It's not my
yeah.
responsibility. And that peace that you were talking about, we have so much more peace mm-hmm. if we leave that in His hands and we don't feel like, I'd really like to see them suffer for what they're
well,
doing.
Well, actually, if our heart's right, we shouldn't even want that for
exactly.
people.
Exactly.
Right. We should want God to give them a space of time to deal with them and bring them around to what's right. So if I'm just really, you know, getting excited when somebody that's wicked is suffering, then I probably need to examine my own heart and see what God needs to do in me.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, what do you think? Would you allow us to tackle some of your big life questions? We would love to help. You can send your questions to us through social media. Go on Twitter, use hashtag AskJoyce. You can do them on our Facebook page or our Everyday Answers page at our website, joycemeyer.org. It's really easy. Just put your question in and be watching for a time that Joyce might answer those questions, whether it's our Help Me segment or through some of her teaching. And it's always really helpful to see what God's Word has to say about our own personal dilemmas. We also love to hear what you have to say. So now it's time for your voice. Thanks for sharing how God has been freeing you from bondage. Your answers are really inspiring. Here is one from Catherine. She says, God has taken away my bitterness and anger toward people. For once, I can truly love again and be loved. I've had 3 bad marriages and I didn't care anymore. I hated life. But with prayer, everything changed. I let God in my life and I am a brand new me. That is fantastic. Tia says, I've been home with an injury for over a month now, and it's been hard to remain patient. Part of me wants to get better fast so I can please everyone who's waiting for me to get better. But Jesus tells me to rest. I am healing. I'm being patient and doing all I can so I can recover, and I'm letting God work things out. It's hard not to feel pressured to be what everyone expects me to be, but Jesus says rest and let go of the fear. Well, I'll tell you, it's not always easy in some of those situations to rest and to be patient. And we do have that bondage sometimes of making everybody else happy and doing what they want us to do. So we hope that you've been encouraged by some of these things. You can always look on our Facebook page. If you just are having kind of a hard day and you need some encouragement, check it out. And today we want you to tell us how you're going to reach out and help someone else. Make a plan. That's what makes the difference. If you don't make a plan, you'll never follow through. So decide right now and then go on social media and tell us. Use hashtag EA and we'll probably be sharing some of these things with you very soon on the program. Right now, here's a glimpse at what's happening next week.